I'd like to turn again tonight to the book of 1 Peter, picking up where my study left off. Very thankful for David's and the real help that is. I wonder if every Sunday we had two preachers preaching the same text, one morning and one evening, if we wouldn't get a richer picture of what's there in the scriptures, because it certainly will exhaust the understanding and appreciation of any one person at any one time. But we'd like to look at 1 Peter, and we're looking at the last part of chapter 1. We've had Peter lifting our vision to the wonder of what we have in Jesus. He's shown us what we have in Christ was prophesied from the beginning, but never understood until now. We begin to see what people for so long longed to see, but didn't see until God opened the eyes and helped us to see. He didn't show them without us, and we're very thankful for that. And he's rooted it all in a personal relationship with Jesus himself, and that's clear in what we've looked at so far, and it's in a relationship of love, whom having not seen, we love. Well, this begins our section, and today it starts with a therefore. Given all that, we have what's beginning in verse 13, therefore, and we're looking at that. We'll really be reading from 13 to 21, and basically seeing three things, seems to me. First, the command to be holy, then the command to be strangers, or the challenge to be strangers, and the third, to be lovers of the brethren. And these are things that will come up again and again as the book of Peter proceeds. He's got a different way of structuring things, and he doesn't put it all together as Paul does and then draw all these conclusions and argue carefully. There are times in which he hits us with something and then repeats it again and says it in a different way. So there are themes that we'll see again and again, but not in the orderly, systematic way that Paul does. It's wonderful to see that he's got his own way of looking at things, and may the Lord enable us to catch something of that, see the fire of what he's saying, and realize that these things will be emphasized again. This is the game plan. This is what he has for us. This is what he longs to see in us. And it involves being holy, being strangers. That's basic. Being holy, basically, verses 13 to 15. Being strangers, 17 to 21. And being lovers of the brethren, 21 to 25. That's basically the structure of what we'll see. We want to look at that today. Let's read first that passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Follow along as I read. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for the truth that you've revealed through the Apostle Peter. We thank you for the kind of man you made him to be, the kind of mind you gave him, the abilities you gave him to express what you revealed to him. And thank you that you have preserved this word down through the ages, that we may turn to it and see afresh, day by day, as often as we turn, the wonderful message of God for us. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for inspiring this holy man of old to write these words. Help us to appreciate them. Help us to meditate upon them. Help them to be part of our thinking and part of our lives. Oh, Lord, bless us now. Encourage us. Help us to see the challenge that's here. And help us to embrace the wonderful encouragement that you give. Help us and bless us. And cause your face to shine upon us through your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Peter speaks to begin with, be holy. Let me read that again. It's verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Peter challenges us, prepare our minds for action. It's set your goals. What are you going to do with your life? He says, be holy. It's a challenge. This is what you ought to do. And it's very much like in this passage, like Peter, or like Paul, where he says, set your mind on the things that are above. And in the same context, set your heart on the things that are above. What are you about in life? What are you going after? What are you living for? Be holy. Set your mind on the things that are above. Set your heart on the things that are above. Be the thing you think about, you desire, the thing that you long for, the thing that you're longing to make real in your life. Be holy. Holy is dedicated, committed to God. Living in such a way as to please and honor him. Thinking of yourself as one who belongs to God to serve him. Won't that theme come up again when it talks about the temple, where a holy temple and each one a stone in a temple meant to be the dwelling place of God? Don't you know that we'll see that as we continue with 1 Peter? Peter's ideas come back again and again to encourage us. In this case, it's prepare your minds for action. Like Paul when he said, set your mind on the things that are above. Prepare your hearts for action. Set your heart on those things. Be holy. And clean up your act. Seems that's what he's saying when he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Don't be like you did. Don't live like you used to. Don't be like you were. You lived in ignorance. Don't do that anymore. What are we going after? We're seeking to be holy. We're separate. We're living a different kind of life. We're not doing what we used to do. We're changing. Many times that will come in. It will talk again and again how you don't live. You live in a way that is pleasing to God with hope, and people perhaps will ask you a reason for the hope that's within you, and you'll have an answer to give them because there's something about your life that's different from others. And Peter will enlarge upon that and speak about that again. At this point, he says, clean up your act. Set your goal. Clean up your act and get your life together. Focus on what you're going to do. Don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy. Because I am holy. Doesn't a coach have to get a team to be thinking about what they're here about? What are you doing? What are you purposing to do tonight? What are you here for? What is this game supposed to be? Don't you have to? I mean, I haven't been on a team in that way, but I've been in group work together where people realize we've got to get together and see what we're doing. We've got to pull together. This is what it's all about. Doesn't a coach do that? You wonder what he says. I know last night, we don't watch television and we don't see games, but somehow somebody said something to that Penn State team to get their act together and to do something in the second half. I don't know what it was said, but I always wonder, what does he say? What does the coach say to the team to get them to focus and get going? This is what we've got to do. Let's do it. Well, it seems to me that's the kind of thing that Peter is saying. We need to focus on what we're doing. Realizing what the goal of the game is, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're here for, and we need to clean up our act, and we need to determine, holiness is what I'm going after. There's a down-to-earth commitment to be holy. Now, we could go into all the details of what holiness consists of and the meanings of the words and things like that, which are very valuable in in elaborating on the things of God. But we know that here it's talking about dedication to be servants of God, dedication to be used of God in a way that will accomplish his glory in our lives on this earth, and that involves our holiness, living committed to God, cleaning up our act, focusing our attention, and going after holiness. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be self-controlled. Your hope fully set on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Not only speaking about the future when some grace will be given us in that time, or will it be when we behold who Christ is and what we're doing? What kind of grace will God give us to live and to serve for God? Well, set your heart on that. What does God do in me and help me with when I'm committed to serve him? Well, those seem to be ideas that are in Peter's mind. At least they're things that will come up again as he lifts our vision and challenges us to live for God, to pursue holiness, to pursue the working out in our lives of the image of Christ, the thing God called us in order that we might have. Well, that seems to be in the mind of Peter as he's lifting the vision, focusing our attention, and urging us, clean up your act, focus on what you're doing, be holy. Well, those are certainly ideas that are in Peter's mind. They're things that will come up again and again as we study the book. But another theme that will come again and again is be strangers. Recognize what your relationship is with this world and see yourself as a stranger. See your goal as the determination to be holy, to clean up my act and live for God. And see yourself as a stranger. This world is not your home. Doesn't he speak about that when he says in verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. You are not motivated by the things of this world. You are not under the dominion. You ought not, as Paul says, be conformed to the image of this world. Or as the Phillips translation said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. We are not to live like the world does. We're not to be like others. We're not to try to conform to the things of the world. But we're rather determined and concerned to live as strangers. Be content to be strangers. Don't mind being weird. Don't be upset that you don't fit in with everything. Don't feel you've got to be like others. That's not the goal. That's not the purpose. Live as strangers. If a person is battling with trying to be like others and still love Jesus, it's a terrible battle. Try to Christianize the world and then say, I'm living for Christ as a unbeliever. There seems to be some kind of sense, I know in some churches, they seem to want to take the way the world is doing things and Christianize it as if we do this for Jesus. But God has a sense, or God challenges us to be different, to not be like the world, to not have the motivation to be conformed to the image of the world, to break and be willing to be different, be strangers, be weird if necessary, in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was certainly willing to be a fool for Christ's sake because the important thing was serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not worried about what the world might see. Well, that seems to be in Peter's mind when he says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We were redeemed in the precious blood of Jesus. What does all that have to do with how much money I make? What does that have to do with how much honor I can get in this world, with what I can attain and what I can achieve in this world? What has that got to do with the blood of Jesus Christ? But I was redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so those are not the things that motivate me. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be rich and be a Christian. Doesn't mean that God can't prosper our labors and we can be wealthy. There's nothing that says we can't be that. But that is not where our joy is. And that's not where our sense of satisfaction is. Our sense of satisfaction is in relationship to Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Theme that Paul is constantly affected by. And Peter, again and again, challenged. It is for Christ that I live. And the things of this world are not the things of value. What's of value is the blood of Jesus that was shed to save my soul. That sense is what seems to be in Peter's mind. As he reminds us, we were redeemed from the empty way of life. All of that is empty. It doesn't even say you have to be poor. You don't have to be poor. You need to see the emptiness of all of that. Use it for the glory of God. Do what God would have you do with it. But recognize there's emptiness there. And fullness comes in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. It's not with silver or gold that I was redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He talks about Christ. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. He remembers again how this was always revealed. It always was what God was purposing to do, but never shown the way it is now. Now we behold it. Now our eyes can see. God has opened our eyes to see things that they longed to see but didn't see, but we see by the grace of Almighty God. And we have come to recognize Jesus, always the way in which man was saved, but revealed in these last times for our sake. Through him, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Why do you live as a stranger in this world? Well, because everything important in your life has to do with Jesus. Everything important has to do with setting my mind on the things that are above where Christ is. Everything that really matters is that I walk with God. Why am I a stranger? Well, how can the things of this world have to do with that? I need to live primarily with a sense of being a Christian and longing to live for God, remembering that I was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for my sake, through him, believing in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. The things that excite Peter are so the things that excite Paul. And Paul's way of declaring them is wonderful and memorable. And Peter doesn't say it the same way, but his heart is clearly caught up with the wonder of Jesus and the desire to live for him and a sense that this is what life is all about. He's talking to people who are going through persecution and difficulty and struggle and opposition, a world of struggle and persecution, and a world that's very difficult to live in. But he's telling us how to live in that kind of world. It's well for us to know how to live in that kind of world, because it's the kind of world that we live in. Opposed to Christ, not appreciative of the things of God, not understanding the reason for which we do what we do, not on our side, not trying to help us, not being our friend. The things of the world are of no help to the people of God. Somehow we have to use those things and make them for his glory, because this world is not a friend of grace in the heart of a person. Peter knows that, sees that, and would lift the vision like a coach. This is what we're after. This is what we're going after. And he's urging them, go to that. And then he'll deal with other things that will relate to this very thing and constantly encourage us and lift our vision. Pursue these things. Go after this. This is what it's all about. He's showing that, first of all, that we're to be holy, and then that we're to be strangers in this world. Not upset because we're strangers, but recognize that that's what God's made us to be, and that's what our life is all about. Well, that's what he urges us to be strangers. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Well, the last division of what he's thinking has to do with loving the brethren. Very important part of what it is to be a Christian. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply. If you've caught the vision of what he's going after and you've asked Christ for forgiveness and been cleansed of your sin and are going after what he wants you to be, a big part of what he wants is live in love of the brethren, love for the brothers. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Everything in this world falls away. All of it falls apart. Everything collapses. The flower flourishes and then fades. But the relationships that we have with one another in Christ are the ones that will be forever. And isn't it a joy to know that as a Christian, those that have loved Jesus will be in heaven, and you'll know them when you go. I had a lot of funerals the last couple of days. I got another one tomorrow. In the providence of God, I don't seek to have funerals. I don't want people to die. And besides that, in two of the funerals that I've done, I was asked to do. They weren't really of people within our church. Wonderful. Most people will know this, but let me just mention again about the funeral that I've got tomorrow. About a little over a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Splain at Epler's. Would I serve at a funeral for somebody I didn't know, but they had nobody to call, so would I serve? And so it could be either John or me, but in my case, I was free, so I went to bury Mrs. Conrad. Didn't know her, but I buried Mrs. Conrad. I was called to the funeral. And the time before, because her husband was still alive, I went to see him, and he was he was polite, was nice enough, but no interest in the things of God. And what I've heard of people that talk about him, there never was any interest in the things of God, but there he was sitting in the funeral. Right the front row, I can see him now. As I spoke, and by the grace of God, sought to be as clear as I could with the gospel. Well, I got another call for another funeral. Doesn't happen very often for me, but for another one, Mike Splain called me again. Would I have the funeral tomorrow for Mr. Conrad? Awesome. Amazing. Sobers me. Amazes me. Would you, if you think of that, pray that I will have the words to speak to these dear ones who, many of them don't know the gospel at all. That God will give me grace to be able to speak in a way that will reach them. Encourage those in the midst that do know the Lord and challenge those that don't. But life is short and it's frail and it's passing. It's here, but it's gone. And the hope that any of us has is in, well, it's in Jesus and seeing him face to face, but a very big part of it is other people as well. Jonathan Edwards talks about, he's got a book on heaven, a world, and the name of the book is, I mean, I'm just referring to the name of the book, Heaven, a World of Love. That's what there is when we get to heaven. We've never had it perfectly below. We haven't loved Christians as we should. We haven't had the deep and the warm relationships that God intends. He's made us part of a building. He's made us part of a body. We're to be one with each other and encouraging and strengthening each other. We've never done it very well, and we haven't experienced it completely. But there is a time where all of this is gone, and what exists forever is what we will be in heaven with other believers in relationship. That is wonderful in our relationship with Jesus, but wonderful in the relationship with his people, who gather as a great multitude that no man can number. And everything in this world fades away, and everything falls, and everything goes, and all men are like grass, but he that does the will of God shall abide forever. What a wonderful hope it is that we have a heaven of relationships, not just with Jesus, but with his people, with all that are the redeemed of the Lord, and we long to be be with them one day and to enjoy that blessing for all eternity. We're so much encouraged to think of personal relationship with Jesus that about as far as we get is that Jesus loves me and I have a relationship with him. And the wonder of what he intends in our relationship with others in worship to him, much of that fades from our mind at times. Peter would bring it back to our mind. And he will do so again as he deals with things like the temple that he's making, of which we are a part. And he'll accentuate again the sense of being a stranger and being cast out, being persecuted, but the joy that is there in knowing Christ. The hope of heaven will be lifted before our minds again. And it's all in Peter's mind. And he says, this is the game plan. And he'll give more details as we open up the book. Wonderful the way in which you capture the sense of what it's all about. And then we go into details that are repetitive at times, repeat at times what we've seen, but are all moving toward that sense of living for God in a way connected with what he's talking about here, being holy and living as strangers and living in loving relationship with others. Well, those things connected in this presentation of the theme that Peter gives us. And it's not just the theme of his book, but it's what life's all about and what he sees God would have life be all about, what our lives should be all about. And so he gives it to us here in this kind of three sections that we'll see bring together a great deal of what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter. And it's wonderful. And we do want it. We want to be what he says that we're to be. Verse 13 again. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And then he starts with another therefore in chapter 2. Just building one idea upon the other, repeating what he's conveying, and bringing us more and more to be encouraged to live this kind of life in this kind of world. It's a wonderfully encouraging book because it does speak to the world in which we live. A world which is no friend of grace, which is not in favor of the things of God, which is not concerned for what's going on in the kingdom of God, which is in opposition to much that we want to do, which is not appreciative of our efforts or our desires, and hinders our progress. And God says, in that world, live for me. May the Lord give us a vision of what we're about. Be holy. Of who we are, strangers and pilgrims, and of the relationship with other Christians that is so important in the mind of God.